Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Online, thisweekinamerica.us, coast to coast, This Week in America. Thank you for joining us on the program. Alaska Native elder and author Robert Rood reviews the history of Alaska Natives from the time they encountered Russian traders in 1792 to the present time. History brings out that Alaska Natives are caught in the middle of two cultures, and passage of the Alaska Native Land Claims Act, ANSCA, and amendments to the act have put Alaska Natives into a position where they do not have the same rights given to Indian tribes, nor do they have the same rights as stockholders in an American corporation. Robert was born in Flat, Alaska in 1938. After his father, Herbert Rood, died, his mother moved his older sister, brother, and Robert to Anchorage, Alaska in 1941. He grew up in Anchorage, attended local schools until graduation in 1957. From 1954 to 57, by the way, played basketball for Anchorage High School, playing in four full Alaska championships, all Alaska championships, finally winning the championship in 1957. He won the Sportsmanship Award, set scoring records, chosen the most valuable high school basketball player in all of Alaska in 1957. Robert Rood, author of ANSCA, Caught in the Middle, joins us from Alaska on This Week in America. Robert, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Been looking forward to this. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What a fascinating career that you had in talking about, growing up and talking about the basketball. When did you become involved in the Native land claims? Why did you get involved in this project?
Well, after I graduated from high school, I went to North Dakota State Teachers, and then I went to Western Washington College in Bellingham and San Benito Junior College, and I played basketball for two of them, and I couldn't play for the third team because I had to be there 6 months before I could play. Anyway, after that, I went and took 6 months of basic training for the 297th Infantry National Guard in Alaska, and I served 6 months there, and then I came back to Anchorage and took a course in real estate and insurance instructions, got diplomas in that, and then I noticed that there was going to be the first statewide meeting in Alaska for the Alaska Federation of Natives to talk about a Land Claims Act. And so I went to that because at the time I was a licensed and bonded real estate salesman, and I used to invest in small parcels of land and then subdivide them, 2 to 5
yes.
acre parcels. And so I went to the conference there, and I sat at the very back row and didn't say a word, didn't ask a question. And next thing I know, the delegates are appointing me to represent the interior unorganized Athabascan villages.
Wow.
And a week later, I go down to Stan McCutcheon's office, and he's a local lawyer that lived about 3 blocks up the street from me, and we filed a land claim for Athabascan villages for over 10 million acres, between 10 and 12 million acres. And that kind of froze up the state where they couldn't run the pipelines and do all that stuff they wanted to do, and so they had to have a land claims. And I continued selling real estate until 1970, and then I got a call from somebody that said they had an office job open for a coordinator at the Alaska Federation of Natives, and I was asked to apply, and so I went down, and they hired me, and while I was working there, then I was put on the board of directors of Coconut Native Association, and while there, I read everything I could find on American Indians and Alaska Natives, their history and everything like that. And as I was going through all that stuff, I noticed that there was a deal where they were starting to apply for an Indian Self-Determination Act. And so I contacted Nick Biggs, who used to be a teacher of mine in high school, and he was a strong advocate of go to college, Bob. Always telling me that every time we would talk after a big ball game. And anyway, he always helped me out, and we helped push through with Senator Mike Gravel the Indian Self-Determination Act, allowing the Native nonprofit foundations to apply and take over the administration of BIA programs and Indian health programs and stuff like that. And I moved CINA and into that, and then we took over some, and then we started and formed a Cook Inlet Housing Authority, and we built a housing project throughout the Cook Inlet region. We built three elderly housing projects, and the last one in Anchorage was a 120-unit project, and they named it Robert Root Elderly Center. And after I became an advocate for the shareholders, they changed it to Salamanca Heights.
Okay.
And from there, you know, when we went into the Land Claims Act, the delegates from AFN met at Alaska Pacific University in Anchorage here, and I was a delegate, and we had five delegates from Anchorage here, the biggest populated center in Alaska for natives. And anyway, we voted for the act 511-4, and 56 was against. So the 56 that was against was the Arctic Slope natives up there. They wanted more land. They said that that land shouldn't be just based on population. That should be on use and occupancy, and they voted against the act. And then I found out that the village leaders in Cook Inlet region started organizing Cook Inlet region, and they turned around and got it articles and bylaws approved by the Secretary of the Interior. And here, in shareholders didn't even get to read them, and they didn't get you know, discussions and teachings on it. And,
yes.
And when they approved it, the villagers, they had 20 board seats, and 12 of them were set aside for the six villages, two apiece, and three for village groups that had less than 25 enrollees. And only five was set aside for urban places like Anchorage. People that was living as shareholders, that living out of the rest of part of Alaska in the lower 48, where we had thousands of each, they wasn't even entitled to, they couldn't even run for the board of directors. And I knew that was a discrepancy, so I when I did a proxy campaign for the first campaign in our opening history, I got 65% of the proxies, 9% of the floor votes, and I didn't interview anybody or tell anybody about you should do this or that, but I let it be known that we should change that, what these guys did, and eliminated the geographic representation, and open it up to any shareholder that's qualified should be able to run for the board, and
yes,
reduce the board down from 20 to 15 to save money for the shareholders. And they did that. And then the second annual meeting, and since we changed that, we had to have another election. And again, I had the high vote, but I didn't use it for self-gain or anything like that. In fact, my wife didn't want me to even take the presidency because I was gone all the time. I was on the land committee for Syria. That when the secretary withdrew our lands for land selection, he was supposed to withdraw three times the amount of our entitlement. Well, instead, he withdrew about one and a half times. And then the lands he withdrew, a large percentage of them were mountaintops and glaciers. So we had to put together a land committee and pay for sending them back to Washington. And I was on the first one, and the two villagers were with me on the first one. And they were both friends of mine, but I told them the thing that they was going to present the board. I said, that's not equal, guys. And they was willing to take less lands instead of a full entitlement, providing that the government gave us properties like close to urban centers in the Cook Inlet region.
Yes.
And they was willing to take less lands. And I said, that's not right. We got to get our full entitlement. And so we sent back the board sided with me, and we sent back another team, and I was on that one. And we came back with a settlement where we got our full entitlement, but we had to select lands out of Cook Inlet region because there wasn't enough lands that wasn't used and occupied already. And so we had to select and the rest of state government surplus properties or state properties that the state would put up. And there wasn't enough there, so then they opened it up to where we could select these federal surplus properties in the lower 48, too.
But this was a real battle for you along the way, wasn't it? This was a battle. You were very involved in. I want to just take a second to go back and say Robert Root is our guest on the program. The book is ANSCA, Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act, Caught in the Middle. The book is available wherever books are sold. You find it at all the Amazon sites, at Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia, New Zealand, and a lot of other places. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on directly to get information on Robert and the book. Let's talk about that discrimination that I mentioned in the beginning, that they didn't hold the same rights as given to Indian tribes, didn't have the same rights as stockholders in American corporation. Talk about that, how wrong that was, and where it stands today.
Well, we're still at the same situation. We don't have stockholder rights that was given to us in the Land Claims Act, ANSCA. Section 7H1 says that we would have all the rights of a stockholder in an Alaska business corporation, except our stock would be restricted for 20 years, and we couldn't sell, trade, or use our stock as collateral for loans, like other stockholders in America. Well, 7H3, it came out and it says that them stock restrictions were going to be exempt, I mean, was going to be abolished, and we were to be issued stock certificates with no restrictions on it, where we would own and control our own stock and shares, just like any other shareholder in America. Well, they didn't do that. They extended the restrictions corporate managers did, and they pushed that to where our stock is still restricted, and we do not own and control it. The corporate managers and the board and their board majorities, they own and control us, so they control our stock too. And they have used that to make themselves multi-millionaires. They have spent billions of dollars on the sale of properties. They got Ted Stevens to push through on talking about that. They wasn't supposed to use any of the ANSCA monies for political purposes, but they began funding them. They started a political PAC and all this stuff. And anyway, they got the politicians to push through certain legislation like PL 10241. And then before that, they passed this one act where the Native corporations could sell properties at losses and sell them losses to profitable companies as a tax write-off. Lo and behold, before that was abolished, when Congress found out it was being abused, because Ted Stevens told them, the most it would cost the federal government would be $50 million, probably less. Well, it cost the federal government a loss in a two-year period of over $1.125 billion, and Native corporations lost over $3 billion in property sales before that was abolished. And then later on, they turned around and the president in 2000, he got an appraisal on 9 oil and gas properties and 2 other properties, and they sold them at a loss of $468 million. And when I met with the FBI federal agents, I had been given a subpoena prior years. I was supposed to have given all my records, all my research, all my minutes, tax returns that I had from the corporations I was with. And anyway, it showed that eight of the 9 properties that sold for $1,000 a piece, and some of them were appraised at over $107 million. So several of them were worth millions of dollars, and the highest one was $107 million. And all these sold for $1,000 a piece. And I told the feds, I said, you guys should find out who in the heck got these for $1,000 a piece, because they got one hell of a deal.
Certainly did.
And I said, look at the other two properties that they sold. One was a camp that we bid on, and we never did lease it out, but the thing was appraised at $147 million, and it sold for $25,000.
Those are just shocking
stories. It just goes on and on.
Well, yes.
But I told the feds it's even worse yet, guys, because I said, look at this appraisal. All their reports to city management do not tell the shareholders the values of their properties that they got or sold or traded or anything else. And I've got all them things as one of the founding directors. But they don't want the people to know, because if the people knew the value of their assets and their properties and stuff like that, they would demand, to have unrestricted stock and
exactly.
make their own decisions. And if they did that, they would regain the rights that they lost from the amendments by these guys in power that have become multimillionaires, and they dominate and control the stockholders.
It's a shocking story, and fortunately, we've got only a couple minutes left, and we could talk for a long time about all the injustice that you've seen. Our guest in the program is Robert Rood, the author of ANSCA, Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, Caught in the Middle. What do you hope the book does? What do you hope that we learn and will do after we read your book?
Well, I hope that the Native people will unite and organize and demand the unrestricted stock shares, and that the people out there in the community would make sure that there's legislation passed that gives them all the rights and privileges that they lost and that they had gotten as shareholders and as citizens of America.
Why is it that seems like reasonable, that's what's fair? Do you feel optimistic that will happen, that we'll do the right thing?
Well, I really begin to wonder, because I've been leading a charge for this. It's cost me over $657,000 in the last 20 to 25 years fighting these guys, trying to get justice for the people. And I never wanted control or anything like that, but I wanted my people to have the rights that they was entitled to.
Yes.
And somehow that's got to be, they got to stand up and demand and get changes where we can own and control our own stock. And if we do that, then we will regain all the things that rights and privileges we lost from the guys in management.
It's an eye-opening book, ANSCA, Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, Caught in the Middle, by our guest on the program, Robert Rood. The book is available, as I mentioned, at all the Amazon sites, at Barnes & Noble, Page Turner's Bookstore, Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia, New Zealand. And you can link onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and go directly to information on Robert's book. Robert, the time went by way too quickly. So much to talk about there. You're to be admired for all the work that you've done in giving back to that area where you grew up and trying to make things right. Sounds like in the book, it hopefully will be a stepping stone in getting that corrected finally and let the people have what's due them. Thank you for taking the time to be with us on the program.
Well, thank you for calling.
It is our pleasure.
And let me express some of the stuff that's going on.
Well, it's very important, and it's eye-opening, and you almost think that in the year we're living in, 2019, soon to be 2020, that a lot of this stuff would have been corrected, and that doesn't seem to be the case in this particular instance, certainly. The book is ANSCA, Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, Caught in the Middle. Robert Rood, our guest on the program. Books available at usual places. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.